This speaker meeting will give our guests an opportunity to share their experience, strength, and hope with us, to illustrate part of their personal journey and how it was affected their lives. The coffee bar will be open throughout the evening. Help yourself, but please just don't come to the point. I mean, there's no one right here, but anyway, don't walk in front of one of the speakers up here, please. And I am happy to introduce your speaker for tonight, Richard.
Richard, alcoholic.
Richard.
You know, it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to speak at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. What it was like, it was ugly. You know, my drinking and other substance was for a long time. You know, and I say long time because I hear certain stories that I could relate with. You know, shining shoes at 8, 9 years old, I did that. Hanging around bars, I did that. Drinking, I did that. Running from the cops, I did that. You know, and my life was a mess because I had no idea of AA. I had no idea that I could change my life. You know, I was married for 23 years to the same woman, and it took a toll on me. You know, trying to be a father that I didn't know what a father was. I didn't grow up with a father, so I didn't know how to be a father. You know, I did my best to supply everything they needed and stayed there. Did a lot of drinking and other things that demised the relationship with my ex-wife. And I took full accountability of it, and I left the relationship with nothing. Because I wanted my kids to have something. You know, I didn't fight for nothing. I said, you know what, you want to keep it. It took me two and a half years to get out of the gutter. And I say out of the gutter because when my mom passed away a year prior from me separating from my ex-wife, it all went to hell in a handbasket. You know, I didn't give a shit anymore. I just was going to do what I was going to do. And, did it for 3.5 years, and it took George Flores to finally throw me into detox. You know, that was one gentleman that I honestly cried openly in public to that man and thanked him, because that was my turning point. When I got here, the Olano Club was over there on Ben Wiley, and NA, AA, and another program was there, and I gravitated to both fellowships, because I knew that one would lead to another, and without one, I can't have the other. So for me, it was, I related with both alcoholism and drug addiction, so I had to find a balance. And for a lot of years, I did. You know, I had a balance of here in AA, then I gravitated to NA for about a good 5, 10 years, maybe 12 years. And I got burned out there, and I said, right, you know what? Alcohol is my problem. So for me, it was more of identifying and respecting the fellowship that I was in. You know, I still do NA periodically, not as much as I used to because I was on committees. But at the Alano Club, I had that option of whatever I felt was the torment of the day. Alcoholism or drug addiction. So for me, it was, okay, where am I gonna hear the message that I need to give me hope? And seeing those members in NA gave me hope. Even though they played the odds, they bet, they said, you ain't gonna make it. You probably look around and you ain't gonna be around in 5 years or whatever. And for the first 2 years, I stayed for resentment towards NA because they played odds and said I wasn't going to hang around. Well, I stayed because I was going to show them that regardless not having a father and not knowing how to follow direction and be accountable for my actions, I stayed. And it helped me to work the steps in order, they told me get a big book, get a phone number, go to meetings, get a sponsor, and work the steps. Those were the suggestions that were given. And I heard that quite a bit in 21 years ago when I first got here. That was the suggestion. Get the cotton out of your mouth, put it in your mouth. You know, and it helped me to recognize that I could go to any meeting that ends with A, and it will help me, regardless of what it is. You know, gambling, sex, CODA, all these other programs that will help me. It just depends on if I'm willing to take the help. And again, like I said, I respect the meetings I'm in, so I identify as a, you know, alcoholic, cokehead, Narcotics Anonymous, I identify. But for me, it was finding myself in where I had to work the steps, incorporate them in my life. You know, it wasn't pretty when I first got here. I owned a bike and a 10-speed. That's all I had. And throughout the time, I thought I was a menace to society because of my upbringing, because of what I did for a very long time. And somebody told me one time, well, you got this much time, now get a job, now be productive. You know, and I ran from child support for about 10 years, and I owed $26,000, and I never thought I'd pay that off. You know, I got a job with Hayward, and they had me there through an agency where they'd pay me, not Hayward. So I worked for Hayward for about 7 years, and then they hired me as an employee, but they went back. So I want to say 2 years ago, I was able to pay it all off. And it was like, okay, I'm done. So being an Alcoholics Anonymous, it showed me there's something different in life besides drinking. You know, going to the bar. I get to not fringe from it. I don't run from it. I don't try to say, oh no, you can't do this. On the contrary, I encourage them. You know what, you're gonna drink, go ahead. Don't hide it because of me. That just makes me pissed off because you're trying to bait me in, oh no, I ain't gonna do it. I tell them, go ahead, and it doesn't bother me. You know, before coming here, I went to a baptism. And they were drinking and, you know, having a good time. And I was okay with it. You know, I was okay with it. My family was there and they tried to, you know, sugarcoat it and hide and stuff. And I tell them, no, I'm okay. If it starts affecting me, I will leave. And I say affecting me because if they start acting a fool, because I know that when my family drinks, they like to act a fool. So for me, it's just part of our upbringing. You know, there's alcohol involved. There's attitudes and differences of opinions, and everybody likes to talk shit and then start fighting. You know, that was part of our upbringing. Being an Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been able to pay off debts, be able to raise a 21-year-old son that hasn't seen me drunk or loaded. You know, and to me, that was one of the biggest things that kept me in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I wanted to break the trend of alcoholism and dope addiction. And for me, doing that gives me a sense of value that I'm okay. You know, my son's in North Dakota, right, Bob? Right? And that's just an inside joke with Bob, because the other day I said South Dakota and he jumped down my throat so quick, it's North Dakota. But, you know, and he's being a productive member of society. He's having his ups and downs, and I'm grateful for that, because I want him to fucking grow up. You know, I want him to do what I didn't get to do. You know, I've gotten to travel since I've been clean and sober to Alaska numerous times. That's something that was beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I never left Santa Barbara County. And at 62 years old, I'm able to do that now because I am not resisting the addiction part of alcoholism, and the other substance. If I was back doing what I was doing, I'd be in jail or dead. And that's where I stand. You know, if I pick up a drink, I will be dead. And incorporating the steps in my life have given me something that I don't have to worry about nothing. I don't argue with people. Their opinion is their opinion, and I'm okay with it. You know, for me, that's what I've learned, that I don't have to be right all the time. You know, I don't have to be right. I have the choice to step away from something that is bothering me or I'm not comfortable with. And again, that was freely shown to me from others that came before me. Because I can't do this by myself. By myself, I can't do this. You know, I had to have some kind of guidance, some kind of people to look up to and comprehend that we're human and we all make mistakes. But the biggest part I've learned is taking accountability for the mistakes. Before us, I'd run. You know, it wasn't me, it was him. You know, and running, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, that's just something that I was brought up doing. You know, we ran from the cops, ran from other gang members, ran from different places. And it was like, okay, where did it get me? You know, it got me to looking at 5 years joint suspension. And I was okay with it. I told the judge, send me to prison. And he asked me before he sentenced me, he goes, why would you want to go to prison? I go, well, at the end of my rope where I was at, I wanted to die or be killed. Or kill or die. And that's what happens in prison. You know, you go in there and you have to take sides and you have to stand up for your own shit. And I was okay with it at the time. I would have shortchanged myself 1,000% if I would have done that. You know, because the life that AA has given me is something that I used to take for granted. I used to take every day for granted, you know, and once I realized that being a father, there's no handbook, there's no measuring stick, just do the best that I could with my son. And, you know, it's worked out so far. My family function, they asked me if I talked to my two daughters. It's been 21 years since I've been sober, and my two daughters don't talk to me still. I text them for every birthday, every holiday and stuff, and I got no response. And this year, my ex-father passed away, and I text my ex-wife, my two daughters, and I got no reply from my ex-wife and my youngest daughter. My oldest daughter, thank you for reaching out, Dad. That was it. You know, so for me, I have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with that because I don't know what happened after I left. You know, what my ex-wife told them or what she ingrained in them. But I try to be a bigger person and say, okay, they're young ladies, they're young women, mothers, they know what they're doing. That's their shit, not my shit. Well, I found out that my oldest daughter is separated from her husband. I didn't know this until my sister told me. You know, I knew they had issues going on, but my daughter didn't talk to me about it, so I couldn't do nothing or intervene and try to explain to them, this is what I've done. This is where I've got to where I'm at right now. And again, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. I kinda, as long as they don't beat them or mistreat them, I'm okay. But I was telling my sister, I go, you know what, if my daughter's calling me right now and I had to leave, I'm leaving. And I tell that to a lot of people. Wherever I'm at, if any of my daughters call me or my son calls me, I'm leaving where I'm at to be accountable and be responsible. And I've learned that. I've learned that here. You know, I stepped up and I've helped people with no expectations of anything because I know that giving it away to help somebody is ensuring me another day of sobriety. You know, and sometimes, yeah, it's like, fuck, again, you know. But again, it has to come from the heart. And for me to help somebody, sincerely comes from the heart. I don't, no expectations, no wants, no nothing. That's what AA has shown me. you know, that this is possible. You know, the drinking ain't the issue no more. It's the thinking, the mindset. You know, I lost my job about 3 years ago. I got rear-ended and I have 5 bulging discs. I worked every day, Monday through Friday, like clockwork, 5 o'clock to 2:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, every day, like clockwork. Well, when I got in my accident, that really took a spin on my head because I had nothing to do. I was isolating, I was getting depressed, I was getting to the point where I didn't want to go anymore. I was isolating by myself. And what I did is I had to, and I get this, I had to seek outside help to be able to bring me, reel me in, you know? And to recognize that today makes me feel good because I was able to open my mouth and ask for help. Again, before, I would have run. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to handle this. You know, unfortunately, I'm taking medication, which the doctor prescribes, and I take it as prescribed because I need to. Not because I want, I need to. And people say, oh, no, no, this and that. I go, no. If it's prescribed and I'm taking it as prescribed, I'm not getting over. I'm doing what the doctor recommends. You know, I ended up having 2 lumps in each lung. One's 5 millimeters and one's 4 millimeters. I was going every 6 months to get x-rays. They didn't know if there were cancer or not. And they said they ain't growing. There's no need to go every 6 months, once a year. And, you know, it took a big rock off my shoulder because it was like, okay, if I have cancer, I have cancer. I lost my mom to cancer. I lost my older sister to cancer. My oldest daughter lost a breast. So cancer runs in my family and it's deep. So I encourage my nieces, my nephews to check on themselves. Go to the doctor, tell them, you know what, cancer runs in our family. And it's worked because a couple of them have gone and they've got polyps removed that could be cancerous and could not be. But for me, it's just a matter of, do I want to live today? Do I want to live today? And that's where AA has shown me that I do want to live. I do want to venture out and be able to say, I'm going here. I'm going to do this and have no reservations in between. You know, and it's just a matter for me, a matter of, I know the consequences. You know, when I got here, I was tore up to where I wanted to die. And today I show up and I don't want to die. You know, I found a higher power through the steps and going to meetings, and it's my higher power. You know, I don't look down on people that go to church or go here and seek outside religious beliefs. I don't. You know, I don't go to church for my own reasons, but it's just, to me, it's a higher power. You know, and being able to have an higher power in my life has saved my life. You know, I didn't walk away from God. Or God didn't walk away from me, I walked away from Him. You know, I turned my back and said, I got this. Well, I didn't have shit. You know, when I was doing what I was doing, in my mind it was, okay, next day, again. The next day, again. At the liquor store at 5 o'clock in the morning, sitting there waiting for them to open. You know, counting my change, making sure I have enough for one beer. You know, that was just the insanity of my alcoholism and my addiction that led me to do that. You know, the cowardness that ran in my blood because I ran has dissipated. It's gone. You know, now I get to face things head on. You know, good, bad, or indifferent, I face them because I know that if I tell a little white lie here, I'm gonna have to remember it a week, a month down the line, and then I'm gonna have to make up another lie because I can't remember the first lie. You know, I don't have to do that today. You know, when I was doing what I was doing, I tell my wife, yeah, this, that, this, that. But it was like, bunch of crock of shit, you know. The worst part was right before I got separated. I used to work every day. I'd get home on a Friday from work with a 24-ounce beer in my hand already, smelling like beer. I'd leave my wallet on the table, I'd leave my keys, and I'd leave my money. And I'd walk out the door on a Friday night, and I wouldn't get home until Sunday morning, you know, and that was just the insanity of what I did on a continuous basis. Am I proud of it? No. Did I make amends for it? I did. You know, I apologized to him, and I told him, you know, this is just what happened. So, you know, there's no newcomers, but still, if you're here and you think you're alone, you're not alone. You know, you're not alone. There's people that care for us and help us get through the trials that we have to get through. You know, not just, oh yeah, buckle up and you'll be okay. No, you know, I have somebody that calls me every day, but he's on the wagon. And I appreciate him calling me every day because it shows that there's still a glimmer of hope there. You know, I express to him, I go, you know, as long as you ain't doing something else, I'm okay with you drinking. If that's your choice and you ain't getting out of control, and you think you handle it, that's your shit, not my shit. You know, and, you know, it's funny because somebody mentioned something the other day that I walked in on him at his house, and it's something I can't forget, you know, and I know that by doing that, I made him have a resentment toward me, you know, and I was okay with it at the time. You know, it kept him to the point where he still had to do some testing the waters, but, you know, he's here now. And that's one of the stories that I'm grateful that I was able to do it, you know, because if it had been somebody else, you know, go ahead, fucking drown yourself with alcohol, smoke all the shit you want. You know, I ain't gonna worry about you. And I found compassion and empathy here. You know, we had a service for Steve that just passed away, and I was surprised that there wasn't that many people, you know, because he was a very caring and giving man. You know, he'd give a shirt off his back for somebody, and it was just like, wow. It hurt me more to see that there wasn't that many people in the turnout, right? And it's like, okay, they have the reason. It was the beginning of the week. People have work, people have jobs, and I couldn't judge anybody. I just did the best that I could for him, you know, and help out where I could. Working the steps has given me a really, really good look at myself. You know, every step that I worked helped me recognize something that was wrong with me, you know, and it helped me understand that judging people, it ain't okay for me. You know, I don't judge people. I don't envy people because I know that if I worked hard for what I want, I can have it. I could achieve it. You know, even still today, if I wanted something, I have to do the process, you know, and for me, it's just a matter of, you know, where am I going to see myself in 2 years, 3 years? You know, I can't think of anywhere else I want to be than in the meeting on a continuous basis. You know, and that's weird. You know, because at first I didn't want to be here. You know, I didn't want nothing to do with any of us. And I say any of us because I didn't know who I was at the time. But yet again, I knew I was part of something that I had to identify and recognize inside that I was a problem. It wasn't the drinking and it wasn't the outside issues. It was me, that I didn't know how to process life on life's terms. You know, and by that is, yeah, I supplied, you know, money, cars, for everything that needed to be paid or taken care of, but being accountable as a father, I wasn't there, and that's something that I cannot fix what was broken, but I could change where I'm at today, you know. And my daughters, again, if they call me or my son needs my help, I will go, because it showed me to be responsible. You know, if somebody needs help and I could help in the area, I will help. If I say I'm gonna do it, I show up. You know, prior to getting sober, it was like, you're gonna be there, yeah, I'll be there. Never show up because I'm too fucking drunk. You know, too drunk and didn't give a shit who it was. You know, now, today, I get to be able to show up and be accountable. You know, only because AA showed me and those that come before me have shown me that your word is more valuable than your actions. You know, and I learned that. I learned that through AA, and it's helped me become a better person, I think. You know, from where I was, I think I am. You know, and when I first got here, people didn't even want to be around me. I didn't want to be around anybody because I felt that I was too far gone. You know, in the alcoholism and the other shit, I felt deep in my core that I was no good. You know, and it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't no good. My self-esteem was gone. My compassion for others is gone because of what I was doing. You know, AA can and it will give you your life back. But you have to understand that your life without actions is gonna get misery. At least that's what I feel, you know. If I stop going to meetings, I know I'm gonna be irritable. If I stop calling people, I'm gonna be irritable. If I don't work the steps, I'm gonna be irritable. You know, so for me, I have to stay in the basics. Even having 21 years, I have to stay in the basics because if not, I will get picked off. And I say picked off because they say stay in the middle of the herd. Well, there has to be somebody on the outside of the herd to be able to protect the center. And I'm okay being on the outside to protect those that I can. And that's something that people have done for me. You know, Victor, when I first got here, he took me to his house and I did yard work for a meal. And, you know, having 3 weeks, 4 weeks of being sober, and he welcomed me to his house, gave me the compassion that somebody does care for me. You know, somebody's willing to work with me and help me get through what I have no clue how to get through. You know, we get here and we look at the steps on the wall and we go, I can do that one, I can do that one, I ain't gonna do that one. You know, if I do them half-assed, that's what I'm gonna get. I'm gonna get a half-assed program. If I work them in order, 1 through 12, it gives me a freedom on a continuous basis. You know, I appreciate you all showing up, even though I was already saying, oh, it's only 5-10 people, you know, and I'm okay with that. Because for me, it's more of trying to pass the message to those that are still suffering. How do we know we're suffering? You know, our life decisions, our choices, and our actions. You know, a lot of us come here with the nudge from the judge, the wife, the husband, whatever. We come here with that, and it's okay for a couple of months, for a year. It's okay. But once you're finished, that's when you need to understand. Are you gonna keep going, or are you gonna go back to your misery? You know, I don't wanna go back. I don't wanna ever go back because I know that it's gonna lead to nothing. You know, I'm grateful that being here has shown me that I could pay off a lot of shit. You know, I could pay off my debts, I could pay off. 13 years ago, I stopped paying my taxes just because they audited me because my ex-wife or ex, my son's mom, she claimed my son when I had him. So I said, I'll show you guys. I'm gonna do my taxes for so many years. Well, I didn't do them for like 14 years. And the only person I screwed out of that was myself. Was myself. Because when I did my taxes, I got like $8,000 or $9,000 back. And that was only for like 9 years back taxes. The rest, the government kept it. And I had to be okay with it. Why? Because I'll show you. I'll show you that I'm gonna get mine when I get mine. Well, I got it, but I got shortchanged on it, you know, and but the good part was I didn't get, you know, I didn't end up going to jail, I didn't end up having to go into court or anything. And I learned something. I was running from something that I couldn't beat. I can't beat the system. You know, the Uncle Sam's gonna be Uncle Sam and he's gonna get me one way or the other. And I was okay doing what I had to do and getting everything taken care of was it wasn't even a weight on my shoulder. Cause I knew that the time I worked, they were taking money every check. The government was, you know. And I knew that every year, they were getting their cut, no matter what. You know, I just, unfortunately, I didn't know it was gonna be that big of a cut. at the end of the year, you know, or after the end of doing my taxes, I didn't know I was gonna lose so much. But again, it's just money. You know, today I don't value my life on money. I value my life on my recovery, on my sobriety, that I am able to not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't here. I can only worry about right now. You know, what am I doing to better myself? And I've learned that. It's nothing I came up with. I learned it through people that came before me. You know, and sometimes I see certain things and I don't want no part of it. Because it rubs me wrong how some people act. But again, it's not my place to correct them. It's my place to make sure I don't do that or people will see me that way. You know, and it's funny because I go to the casino quite often and I have them put Mr. A. And they ask me, what's Mr. A stand for? I go, Mr. Asshole. You know, and it's funny because the first time they yelled it out, they had a meeting. They got in trouble for it. So what did I have to do? I had to go back and make amends to those employees and tell them, you know, I'm sorry for making you guys write it down and yelling it out. You know, before it was like, bring it on, keep doing it, you know, start bringing up different means and stuff. But no, I was able to apologize to them and man up that I did wrong. It wasn't intentional, but it was just to get them to laugh, to smile because of work they had to do. You know, I'm that type of person. If you're having a bad day, I'll try to make you laugh. You know, come on, it ain't that important. Yeah, you have a job. Yeah, you have to do your job. Smile every now and then. You know, and I get it. Work is work. You know, I don't want to get out of work and then have to deal with work issues, which I did because I was devoted to my job. It was my job before my son, before my relationship, it was my job. Because without my job, I couldn't supply anything for my son or my relationship. So it was to the point where I had to find a balance in my head. Not in, you know, up here. Because what's more important, time at work or time with my son or time with my relationship? And I figured at the end of the day, it was more spend quality time with my kid. You see, and when I spent more time with my kid, my son learned good habits. He learned that dad doesn't have to live like that no more. You know, when he turned 21, I went to Vegas and we met him up there and he got shit-faced. You know, he got drunk and I tell him, you know, go ahead. If that's what you think, you want to figure out what it's going to do, go ahead. And I, you know, I walked around with him. I kept him under my wing and stuff. And I told him, dude, you don't think you have enough? You know, the next day he woke up and we went to the room and he woke up and he was barking. I go, let's go, get up, let's go do it again. I'll buy you the first one. Let's go. You know, no, I don't want to go. I go, come on, let's go. You know, and for me, I know what the feeling is. You know, I did it quite often and made more room for more consumption. Well, and I told him, I go, you know what? you have a very high possibility to be an alcoholic and a dopamine. Because his mother's a dopamine, an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic and a dopamine. And the probability of that running into his genes is very likely. So for me, it was more of, you know what, I'll be here with you, I'll help you, and I'll walk with you, but get it out of your system. I will let you do it for 3-4 days and then get it out of your system. You know, so now he's working again, and to my knowledge, he ain't drinking. You know, he's never liked the drugs. You know, he's never liked drugs. So for me, it was okay. That one's on the back burner. But the alcoholism, he had the taste of it. He had the taste, and he did it frequently. I wasn't there. So he did it quite often in North Dakota and stuff. And I told him, dude, get your head out of your ass. That ain't gonna go nowhere. It's gonna lead you to dark places. And he did. He stopped drinking and he started going, you know, to the gym again and stuff like that. So him being over there, I can't do nothing. You know, I'm here. I can't do nothing for him. You know, except his calls and see, you know, I can help him, I help him. If I can, I can't. You know, but I look at staying sober has made me a better person in my eyes because I like the person I see in the mirror. You know, sometimes he's an asshole, sometimes he's not. It just depends on, you know, what day of the week it is. You know, and that's, it's okay. It's okay to have bad days as long as I don't drink. It's okay to have a bad day. And having a bad day just teaches me that I could be better tomorrow. You know, and that just comes from Alcoholics Anonymous. It's giving me that growth in me that I could make tomorrow a different day. You know, today, it's behind me, most part of it. I know for sure I ain't gonna go home and get drunk because I know that it ain't gonna solve nothing. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with me right now. Health-wise, I'm jacked up, but mentally, I'm okay. You know, and again, it just depends on the day. You know, my sleep pattern's all the shit, my eating pattern's all the shit, and taking the shit's all the shit, too. You know, and I say that because after my accident, all the medications jacked my stomach up. You know, my appetite's gone, I can't sleep, and to go restroom it takes a couple of days. So, you know, laxatives and all this other shit to take on top of the medication to help it work, doesn't work, you know? So, you know, being an alcoholic, I've learned that I don't have to live like that no more. I don't, you know, I could honestly say I don't want to live like that no more. You know, I cruise down Broadway and see people at the Cheetos Bar or at Louis B's on Main Street. And I, every time I pass by them, I go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because I knew that Louis B's and Cheetos Bar was my place. You know, was my place. I drank and I did other things in there that I'm not proud of, but I don't have to live like that no more. You know, and I go, thank you, God, and I hope, you know, nobody gets hurt, nobody dies. But that's all I could do for those that are still sick. You know, when people come here and I tell them, you know what, you don't have to drink no more. You don't have to do what you're doing anymore. They go, what do you mean? I go, well, what part don't you understand? Look at your history of what happened in your life to this point and what's behind it. You know, and I know that AA does work. At least for me, it has so far. You know, it'd be a disgrace to AA if I went out and got drunk. Because they've invested time in me. They've taught me that I don't have to drink, regardless of how I feel. Regardless of what's going on in my life, I don't have to drink. You know, I went to Alaska 4 or 5 times already. And each time I go out there, we're 45 minutes off the grid. So there's nobody. My nearest neighbor is half an hour away. So, you know, for me to be by myself, it's okay. I continuously pray and say, it's your will, not my will. And you know what? There's times that I'm driving and I've said, okay, I can't do nothing about it. I can't change it. I just keep going forward. You know, and I love going out there because I'm able to carry a gun on my shoulder. When I'm driving around, I'm able to have a gun on my shoulder. Not to look good, not to look slick or anything. Bears, wolves, you know, and I have to have defense. I can't do that in California. Regardless of bears or wolves or humans, you know, it's like out there, it's a necessity. And being alone, I get to look inside of me. I get to look inside of me and understand that I have a lot of work still to do in my life. Because there is days that I do mess up. There's days that I make the wrong turn and say, you know what? Okay, I already started it, so I have to go through with it. You know, and it's okay. Because if I keep turning right, I'm gonna end up in the same place. You know, and being able to end up in the same place and recognizing that I did that whole circle to end up in the same place. It's okay for me because I have to understand that by working the steps and the traditions in order have given me a peace in my soul to where I'm okay with it. You know, like I said, my father-in-law passed away, my ex-father-in-law passed away about 2-3 months ago, and it hurt me. I was in Alaska, and it hurt me that I couldn't come and participate with my ex-in-law's family. So, you know, I shot him texts and everything, and I told him, you know what, I'm sorry for your loss. You know, let me know if you need anything from Alaska. And you know what, it just shows me that life is precious. I don't know when I'm gonna die. I don't know, but I'm okay. Because being sober and away from that other substance has given me a life to where I am okay if I pass. You know, if I pass, I will be okay. Because I know that there is a higher power and I'm not it. You know, God didn't bring me this far to drop me. You know, to be able to honestly look at that and be okay with that, it's taken a lot of inside work to be able to say, I'm okay. And it is, in hindsight, some people see it differently, attitude or whatever, but it's not, I'm okay. You talk to me, fine. If you don't talk to me, well, I'm okay. You know, and I used to tell people, you know what, if you ain't feeding me, financing me or fucking me, I'm okay. Stay out of my business, leave me alone. You know, and that's one of the things I had to get through and stop saying that. Because AA has brought me a long way to where I have to change the ways of how I react. You know, coming here, there's a lot of shit show. And I say shit show, different meetings, just shit show meetings. And there's times I wanted to grab people from their neck and tell them, dude, sit down and shut up. You know, keep your mouth shut. Why are you making other people look bad or trying to make other people look bad and make yourself look good when you can't get 30 days? When you can't get 30 days in a row? You know, come on. And to me, it's like, if I cast a stone at anybody, I'm breaking my glass house. Because I live in a glass house. So I can't judge people. I can't point fingers because of how they look or how they act. I have to look at myself, how I react. You know, and sometimes I just, you know, sometimes I just, all right. As long as somebody's getting hurt, nobody's getting abused, I'm okay. But once somebody starts laying hands on somebody else, then it's okay, you guys need to hopefully get out of here. And that's where I've learned that meetings are safe for people. Supposed to be safe for people. And sometimes they're not. You know, we get personalities, different people with different mental issues that don't know how to handle the mental issues or don't know that there is help, but they're embarrassed to ask for it. They're embarrassed to go get help or seek outside help that'll help them. You know, again, like I said, I had to seek outside help because of my depression, because of not being able to do what I was doing before. And I mean work-wise, because I don't want to drink and I don't want to get loaded. So that's something I don't ever want to do. Not that it ain't possible, but I don't want to do it. You know, and that's where I've learned that AA will carry me at my time of need, regardless of, you know, I'm being an ass or not. There will be people that don't answer their phone, and if I need help, they will be there. So, you know what? Thank you guys. I appreciate you guys all showing up, and thank you.
All right, thanks Richard for sharing your story. Let's give him another round of applause.